Well, hello, lovers. Did you think that I had forgotten about you all because I'm coming to you later? I hadn't. I have been prepping and getting all very organized to come and talk to you. How are you? Happy Friday. Happy day of Venus. And speaking of Venus, she is in Scorpio at the moment, just when we thought we couldn't go deep into the underworld again after a very epic Scorpio season. You know, I'm really loving Venus in Scorpio. I think this transit is sort of necessary. And again, I probably spoke about this a couple of weeks ago over the last couple of weeks in one of my episodes. I never ever re-listen to anything that I ever share, so I have no idea what I say. But I was just talking about Venus in Scorpio with my 12-month ladies in my container, prepping them for the month ahead, which obviously I do every month. And I was just talking a little bit about this Venus in Scorpio really sort of sweeping up the ashes. You know, this is how I'm seeing her. And although she is the Phoenix, although Venus in Scorpio is taking us hand in hand with Hades, there's something different here about this transit, and maybe you've subtly felt that. Ultimately, we feel Venus transits very, very viscerally because it's a part of our everyday life. When we have Mercury or Venus or Mars shift signs, which they're the ones that do mostly during our year, apart from the Sun and Moon, of course, you know, we feel them on our day-to-day living. This is how we are approaching. Whether it's our communications, our conversations, what we're listening to, talking about, where our attention is, that is Mercury, of course, and Venus is our love, our relationships, and our money, our resources, our finances, our desires, our pleasures, our sex, hedonism. And Venus in Scorpio is deep. You know, it is. It's visceral, it's deep, it's obsessive, it wants control, it hooks in. But we have come from a really interesting Venus journey this year, darlings. You know, she spent a ton of time, 4 months instead of just a few weeks in Leo due to her very deep retrograde. Now she has become that morning star, which is very yang, very fire, very dominant. You know, we're working with Lucifer energy here, and we can see that. You know, we've got war. Venus as a morning star is war, and look at what we're seeing in the collective right now. It's debilitating on so many levels. And our Venus star point that we have just had is in Leo, so again, it's fire. So we've got this morning star, Venus star point, fire, fixed fire. So it's fixed. Our next Venus star point comes in mutable air in June of 2024. So this is going to be really beautiful. This will be her transition in the underworld before she becomes the evening star again. So it's going to feel very, very different. But Venus in Scorpio, I feel like because Venus is a benefic and Venus has had, a time. She's spent 4 months, which, I love Venus in Leo. Venus in Leo is quite extravagant and pleasurable and over the top and dramatic, and I do love it. But it was, a humbling, bring you to your knees transit. Absolutely. I think the Venus energy has been extra potent because, of course, the South Node in Libra, that is who we are looking to. We are looking to Venus. So there's a lot of sort of karmic rumblings. There's a lot of, it feels like dirty, murky water, old terrain that maybe we haven't even thought about for years. And it will show you the work that you've done when it rears its head, if you've done the work. Like this is what we're dealing with Venus whilst the South Node is in Libra, Venus's home sign. So this is what we're getting. And if we did the work with Venus as the North Node ruler while we had the North Node in Taurus and really simplified and prioritized and focused on our own soul resources, this is a celestial goddess, Venus in Libra. So Libra is the celestial and Taurus is the earthly. So if we did the earthly terrain right, we get to do the celestial train. Yes, it's a train. It's a train of friggin' crazy. We get to do the celestial, this celestial energy different, you know, it's different though, because of course we were working with Taurus as the North Node. So, you know, anchoring in to our roots and our bones and our core and Mama Earth. But now this is celestial, you know, so it's like karmic, etheric threads that, again, maybe you haven't even thought about. So pretty much that whole time she was in Leo, we've had, obviously, the South Node in Libra. Then Venus moved into Virgo, where she's not totally happy, but this was a beautiful healing after all of the sovereign fire that we had to go through with Venus in Leo. Because remember, Lilith was in Leo too. So it really was a deep, deep reclamation, you know, that we had to come back to our souls, come back to ourselves, come back to our literal purposes. And then Venus moved into Virgo, and you know, that was healing. Again, she's exiled in Virgo as well. Then she was in Libra, which is her home sign, but as I've shared for months, that wasn't just a normal transit. That wasn't her happy back in her home sign. She will be debilitated by the South Node. Pretty much in every sign that she moves through, there's some connection to the South Node and past rumblings, like the earthquake has gone off and now we feel the tremors every time she shifts into a new sign. And it's like, well, what are we taking with us throughout the terrain of the Venus journey? And if you really look back over this year and even 18 months before that, this nodal axis of Taurus, Scorpio, and then Aries, Libra is predominantly and is Venus and Mars. So we're having 3 years of this very entrenched Venusian and Martian energy. So whenever these two shift signs, we're going to feel that. And now we've got Mars as our North Node, you know, the ruler of Aries. So again, he shifts signs slower than Venus does. So you're going to feel it like a jolt in your energy system. And we pretty much have Mars in Sag all month, all of December and into early Jan. And then he moves into Capricorn where he's exalted. And you know, this is a very good time. I'm really excited about, you know, Mars's movements for the most part, obviously. But Venus is, this year has been very Venusian. It's been heavy relationship theme. It's been heavy looking at your own friendships, your values, who you prioritize, who you spend your time with, family, friends, groups, communities, your desires, your own personal pleasures, your intimate one-on-one relationships, your relationship with yourself. And that really kicked us off with that Venus retrograde in Leo, you know, turning that Hathorian mirror back onto you, where you are looking to the eyes of your own self, the ego, you know, Leo, the ego, the sun, the personality, the driver, the life force. So this is where it's all started, that morning star. And here we are, you know, moving through this terrain of Venus. And she was quite, you know, the debilitation of her, even in her home sign, was really strong. And for me personally, I felt like Venus moving into Scorpio is probably going to be, you know, it's she's sweeping up the ashes. She is literally down on her hands and knees with a dustpan and brush, and she is sweeping up the ashes of the Phoenix moments that we have been through. All the fire, all the hell, all the fury that has been there. She's just cleaning that up. And, you know, Venus is a benefic planet. And I feel like she is bringing something really solid and true whilst she is in Scorpio. It's like, hey, what's real for you right now? What can you feel in your body? You know, Scorpio, fixed water. What's in your waters? What's in your womb? What's in your belly? But again, there's this, again, this energy of murkiness. And have you done the clearing around that murkiness? And that's sort of what I'm saying about these, you know, Venus and the South Node, that brought up definitely a lot of stuff. It's, you know, she's really reflecting and the work that you did whilst Venus ruled the North Node in Taurus. How grounded and anchored are you in yourself? And so you can see that by the way you respond and or react to old things that trigger you, or old things that don't even trigger you, but just rear up And I witnessed this myself, and I think I've shared this again, or maybe somewhere in a podcast over the last couple of weeks, because the Venus South Node conjunction was exactly conjunct my Pluto and square my Moon. And I witnessed these old little narratives just come up around some stuff, and I just sort of watched them. I'm like, okay, there's a tenderness here, and I confronted them on some level. I was like, no, I'm gonna say the thing, but I'm gonna move through this with more of an objective perspective. It didn't floor me. I wasn't taken into the underworld. I was shown my own resilience and the deep soul contract that I have with myself and my own inner resources and how I needed to anchor into them. And again, if you go back and listen to a few podcasts, I know that I feel like, you know, I'm deja vuing here. I've spoken about this sort of stuff. But now she's in Scorpio. She's here to, you know, to dust off the ashy wings. You know, maybe you're still on fire, maybe you're still furious, maybe you're still going through it all, and that's okay. You know, you've got to honor where you're at. You know, for me, I experienced this strongly with the Venus South Node conjunction. Venus is also my chart ruler, so if you are a Taurus or a Libra rising and you've got strong Libra and Taurian archetypes in your chart, this is big for us to have Venus ruling the South Node, which is also our chart ruler, if you're a Taurus or Libra rising, you know, this is a really big time for us. Of course, if you're an Aries rising, you've got that South Node of Libra moving through that seventh house. So relationships are also a very big theme for you as well. Taurus rising, you know, Venus is your ruler, so you're always following her. You're always watching what she's doing, yeah? So ultimately in Scorpio, I'm liking this. I'm liking that, you know, she's here with me on my hands and knees, you know, cleaning up the ashes, sweeping the ashes of the ruins that I've just been through or that I have processed or whatever that ruins is for you. For some people, it's, you know, thousands of kilos of ashes. For others, it's just a little bit of dust. And whatever it is, you know, this can be the time to get on your hands and knees, to be in reverence to Venus in Scorpio. Because yes, as you will hear from me and from every other astrologer, you know, Venus is, you know, is in her detriment in Scorpio. She's not functioning at her happiest. But for me, this transit in particular feels really nourishing. And again, it's really rewarding for the work that you have put in. And like I said, as Venus moves through and keeps moving through the signs, these are important, significant astrological and cosmic significators of the South Node. So we can't forget that. That is really, really important. So I just had to say and talk about that significance. And ultimately, oh my God, so I'm just about to talk about the 13th of December and I looked down at my phone and it was 13-13, of course, because on the 13th, it's a big day. It's a big day next week, the 13th. There's a few things happening, but just sticking with Venus just for a few moments longer, you know, Venus, you know, is moving with Pallas Athene in Scorpio, and they come together on the 13th and 14th in Scorpio. And you know, what I've written here in some of my notes is, the intuitive intelligence, foresight, and power that we can utilize with these two. Now, Pallas Athene is justice. She's wisdom. She's intelligence, high intelligence. You know, you feel, of course, she's Athena. So you're feeling the sword of justice. So I don't know what's, you know, I'm not about predicting events and having to be right or wrong. I mean, of course, when we look at cycles, we see things astrologically, but you know, maybe something prevails next week. Maybe something shifts next week with what we're seeing in the collective, with what's going on in Gaza. You know, something has to give here. And Pallas and Venus coming together, I just feel like maybe there can be a shift. You know, this is about justice. You know, this is about justice. So, you know, that I'm sure we're all collectively praying for that. But Venus and Pallas coming together is a beautiful conjunction. Where I'm talking about using wisdom as your weapon. Yeah, like this is your weapon, your charm, your wisdom. In Scorpio, this is around intuitive intelligence. You know, really getting again into the heart of Venus in Scorpio. Yes, there can be obsessiveness. There can be hell hath no fury. This is you will be scorned and scorched very differently than when Venus is in a fire sign. Okay, because Venus will move into Sag at the end of the month. And you know this, but this brings optimism and joy. But before we get to Sag, we have to be scorned. We have to walk through the fire, and I feel the coals beneath my feet. They're hot. They are hot. We want justice. We will walk the fucking hot coals as women, as mothers, as humans. There is no sides. This is humanity that we are here for. This is around justice, and to use Pallas's thought, sword, and thought, and you know, this is in essence herself. She is of war, but she uses her brain. So this is where intuitive intelligence and emotional intelligence is far more productive, far more productive. And so, you know, I've just got this image of swords out, cutting through. You know, we're again also talking about fixed water with Scorpio and Pallas both in, sorry, with Venus and Pallas both in Scorpio. This is deep emotions, deep entrenched emotions. It's like we're drowning in a sea of despair. And so what can we do to cut through this? And maybe it's grieve, and that's okay. You know, honoring the emotions, honoring where you need to go over these next, you know, couple of weeks as Venus and Pallas are working together, but they are conjunct on the 13th and 14th, using your foresight and your wisdom, wisdom as your weapon. It's very intense and charming and maybe seductive in Scorpio. So, also, last little bit about Venus is we do have this heart chakra gate being activated in Scorpio. So, again, you know, this is super powerful that the heart, this is the gateway of everything. You know, the heart chakra is the balancer, the bridge between the lower three and upper three chakras. Of course, we do still have Earth Star Chakra below, Soul and Stellar Gateways above. But when we're just talking to about those seven chakras that are in our body, in our physical body, in our spine, in our energetics, the heart is the bridge. It's the well. It's the deep, deep sea. And in Scorpio, you can't get any deeper. Like we are going to the heart of the ocean. So we're going to move through this heart chakra gate, and hopefully there is healing, you know, hopefully there is healing the heart, and there can be something that changes. And with Pallas there as well, you know, I'm really looking out to see what shifts. So let's all collectively, you know, put that out. But yes, the 10th of December is the next Venus gate. Which is the heart chakra activation in Scorpio. Venus and the moon will come together at very, very, very early on the 10th. So if you're, you know, feel like being really devoted and eyeballing this and sort of sitting and letting them infuse your heart with the power and the passion and the intensity and the loyalty that Scorpio has and knows, you know, Scorpio will give the courage where other signs don't have the courage to do that. So that's why I'm loving Venus in Scorpio right now. She's cleaning up. You know, we've had Mars through Scorpio, obviously the, you know, Scorpio season. We've had the South Node move through Scorpio. You know, Venus is now here just really, you know, touching us with a bit of a Midas touch if you want to work with it in that way, yeah. So that's a little bit of what's happening. I'm going to have a little bit of a drink because I've been talking for 20 minutes. I've just eaten a whole spoonful of Moldavite honey. Yes, you heard me right, darlings. Moldavite honey. So I feel like that, like all of the wetness out of my mouth has been sucked out of me for some reason. And yes, Moldavite honey, this is some good stuff. And just as a little side note here, if you go and check out my Instagram, me and my beautiful friend Danny from Yantra Lab, she is the curator of these delicious divine concoctions. Let me tell you, they are amazing. And we're doing a little giveaway. So head on over, comment, like, follow both of us, and go into the draw to win one of my A4 2024 kits. And she is giving away a couple of beautiful, like a tincture and a honey, and a beautiful glass spoon. The glass spoons are so beautiful. I use them when I'm eating all of the things. And yeah, they're amazing. They're next level. I mean, the Moldavite is one of my favorite. I do love her creamed honey of the Oracle. They've got, crystals infused into them, golds and silver. And if you go on to Danny's page, Yantra Lab, you will see all of the magic that she puts in. She is a true Virgo in these creations and working with the land, and being able to come up with such incredible medicina that I work with. There's only a few people that I work with when it comes to internal medicinas, whether that's flower essences or these sorts of honeys, or any sort of astrological things. And yeah, and Danny is one of them. So check that out. So yes, I'm all pepped up on Moldavite right now as I ate it. And I'm holding my beautiful Himalayan quartz today. I just needed that clarity because fuck me, Neptune, we've got all of these solar winds and huge solar winds because of this big gaping hole in the sun. So all of these, and this is science, I mean, if you go and check out solar fires and flares and things like that, this is actually something that happens. And when these flares, because they're affecting the earth, obviously, they can make you feel super tired or super overwhelmed, like achy or exhausted or foggy. For some people, they might be feeling cranky, but and for here down under, I mean, it's been hot. I haven't had my aircon off for like 2 fucking weeks because the humidity is debilitating and it's just so hot. And it's like the solar flares are happening. It's Sagittarius season. We're in the fire. And yeah, it's just been wild. And so for me, just sort of being able to string fucking a few sentences together has been hectic with Saturn squaring my Mercury for so long. Yes, it's still happening. I know I keep talking about it, darling, but this is how long these transits happen. So I'm on the I'm finally, hopefully by next year, maybe February, January, February, as he really starts to move away from my Mercury. I'm going to really, get the gift, the alchemy and the gift that Saturn does bring us, darlings. Saturn always gifts us with something quite alchemical, if you do the work. So, and then this Neptune stationing direct, which happened on late on the 6th here down in Australia. That's a big thing. We've got the solar flares, we've got Neptune stationing direct, which can be very foggy, very confusing, very overwhelming. It's like, am I coming? Am I going? So if you felt really weird for a couple of days this week, some people it's keeping them up, some people they're just tired as fuck. Maybe you're sleeping more, maybe you've just got no energy. We've got these solar flares, we've got Neptune stationing direct, and that can always throw a bit of a spanner in the work. We're in a waning moon, there's this purge energy going on as well. So, this is a time to, December is that time, a real recalibration time. Mercury is in his shadow. He's getting ready to station retrograde. And this dark moon in Sag is coming up, the new moon, dark moon in Sagittarius, which happens on the 13th. The 13th is a big day. We've got that Venus Pallas conjunction. We've got Mercury stationing retrograde and we've got the new moon. So, the new moon happens first though. So let's just focus on that. Let me prep you a little bit for the new moon on the 13th. And this is at 20 degrees of Sag, just so you know, when I pull the chart up for Brisbane, it is in the 10th house, which is goals and career and our success and where we're heading. So it's actually a really nice place for this new moon in Sag to happen. Excuse me. It's can well, it's a separating conjunction to Mars, but there's the energy of Mars there, which I love. I'm excited about this new moon. It feels like a breath of fresh air. It feels like channel in some optimism, channel in some joy, channel some adventure, do something different. You know, this is Sagittarius. You know, look at the bigger picture. What's the next cycle? It's the last new moon of 2023. There's also an energy of burning off the dross, you know, like as much as it's a new moon, it's dark, of course, first, you know, it's a dark moon before it's a new moon always. So the dark moon itself is still in that waning, letting go, purge, burn it all to the ground. And that's what I'm feeling with this. It's like, right, it's a new moon in Sag, mutable fire. Let's fucking burn shit to the ground. Let's burn off the dross, shake off the energy, you know, shake off the fragmented aura cracks that you've possibly picked up on. Really begin with a clean slate on some level, because of course we are still winding down of the year, but this just feels good. And look, there is a square to Neptune. I absolutely, you know, and a square to Juno, which I am totally all over. But overall, this is a really powerful, dramatic, celebratory new moon. It's sort of just like, okay, let's burn away what is, you know, it's like doing the backburning, like what happens in a fire. It's like, do some backburning on over this new moon. And as she builds, as she, you know, waxes to this, to the final full moon of the year, which happens later in the month in Cancer, you know, what can you enjoy? What are you calling in? What are you bringing in? Like I said, this is a month of recalibration and sort of slowing down and, you know, somewhat prepping for 2024. But we might do quite a lot of that in January as well, because January is that, you know, that 9 month. So we sort of like we go forwards to go back before we can sort of step forward again. You know, February is that 1 month, and March is a numerology 11 month, you know, so there's some mastery that's happening. And that first sort of quarter of 2024 is quite significant, darlings. There's some pretty big alignments that are going on, pretty big energy. So the thing is that whilst this is the new moon, we're still in this sort of in-between preppy sort of stage. It's like, can you get organized? Can you clear out your closets? I've been chucking away that much shit, cleaning out my boot, you know, just getting rid of old stuff, you know, looking at honestly old herbs and spices and going, okay, they're out of date, chucking them out. Like literally just really getting that sort of bringing in that fire, like purging what no longer sort of that I want to take in to next year with me. But like I said, you know, you might still feel like doing that in January. Remember, we actually aren't in the all clear with all planets moving forward until late January. So we've still got Uranus retrograde. We move into 2024 with Mercury retrograde. So again, there's sort of this like, we're not really moving forward yet. It's a new it's a new Gregorian year. We've moved into the new numerology of the year, which we move straight into that 8. But then of course February, we've got like that Chinese New Year, both solar and lunar, and it's a 1 month. So, you know, things will start to build then. But for now, you know, Mercury is asking us to slow down, you know, to really consolidate, to get organized, to get structured, to fucking like literally just take a load off. Like so many people at this time of year, oh my God, a million things, la, la, la. Like they're choosing busyness. They're choosing to be mentally overstimulated and not be able to step back. And Mercury is saying, slow down. Like, there is no need to hurry. Just like that beautiful quote, that Tao quote about, you know, nature does not rush, yet everything is accomplished, right? Like, that's the thing. You do not have to use December to rush. And to be honest, you probably will come up against a lot of blocks if you're rushing in December. I just want to say the invitation and the energy is slow. It's deliberate. It's stay present. It's choose where you're putting your energy, choose your nervous system, choose being mentally stable and not mentally frazzled or scattered. Because the more you push or rush or force or, you know, flip out, the probably harder and more condensed and amplified all of this energy will feel. And actually, the slower you move and the more integrated and present and deliberate you are with your intentions and actions, the actual more productive and further you will feel that you are in December. And so that's Mercury, you know, Mercury's stationing retrograde at 8 degrees Capricorn. So he's right there in that, you know, sign of, you know, responsibility. Yeah. He's asking you to get organized, to get, just to have some structure, to get serious on some level too, like, you know, to get serious around what you're thinking about. But at the same time, I you know, like I said, I feel like Mercury retrograde's not too gnarly. The new moon, really loving the new moon. Jupiter is ruling this new moon. Jupiter is in Taurus, and Jupiter's in a beautiful grand earth trine with Mercury and with Black Moon Lilith. So there's something really, I don't know, grounding and earthy and interesting. I was like, oh, I'm just feeling a real Saturnian sort of feel to this very, what can be fun, confident, broad and optimistic new moon in Sag, just giving us that fire, giving us that momentum and that initiation to just, you know, this doesn't have to be about seeding a cycle of accomplishment and productivity, but anchored joy. Like, some people have to schedule joy because they're not having enough fun. Like, play, you know, adventure, just open the mind. And I felt sort of this Saturnian energy. And then I looked and we're at the third decan of Sag, of course, because it's a 20 degree new moon. So this is decan 3, and it's a Saturn decan with the World card and the 10 of Wands. So there's something really beautiful around this decan, grounding and earthy, sort of like Saturn in Sag, you know, where we can be the gypsy, where we can really look at the bigger pastures and change our perspectives and our opinions and our ideas. And maybe this year for you, you're doing something very different with Christmas or your holiday or you're celebrating. Maybe some people are working over the holidays. Maybe some people are taking time off when they don't usually. Maybe your Christmas, you've chosen to do your house instead of that person's. Like, realistically, there's something that's shifting and changing. And the invitation is to go with that. You know, the invitation is to go with that. Jupiter ruling this new moon, I really like in Taurus again, because there's that earthy connection. Yes, Jupiter is still retrograde, but that's okay. This grand earth trine that Jupiter is a part of with Mercury, who is stationing retrograde, and Lilith, again, there's just something so visceral and so powerful about this new moon. So really enjoy this new moon. It's happening at around 9:30 a.m. on the 13th, and Mercury won't actually station retrograde until later on that day. This is all Brisbane time, of course. But remember too, you know, Mercury stations can be clunky. You know, they can be tetchy and a bit frazzly. So again, be mindful of your communications. Maybe go for a swim in the ocean. Go and sit on the earth. Maybe just have a little bit of a think about your future. You know, this is Jupiter. This is Sag. Like, what's coming up for you? Where is your arrow heading? That is sort of what we're thinking here. It's like, are you still in the pulling back mode? Are you ready to let it go? Where are you aiming your arrow? Where are you aiming your intentions? This is around being bold, having courage, but at the same time, using that Saturn energy and that grand earth trying to anchor us into being realistic. Because of course, Jupiter can be over the top. Of course, Sagittarius can have a gazillion ideas, but never really nail any of them because there's just too much going on. I want to do all the things. So where can you use Saturn as the anchor in this new moon? Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a really, I really like this energy. Like I said, I just feel like everything's sort of going to move well, but awareness is key, slowing down, restraint, getting practical, getting real, but also having that vision of what you want, where you're heading. You know, maybe it's your third eye, you know, doing some real big vision work with your third eye as the arrow. You know, what are you whispering on the winds? You know, what needs to be burnt down? Because I do still feel the real strong backburning energy of this new moon in Sag. As much as it's planning, you know, as much as it's a new cycle, there's something here that I feel is really transformative, just like when the fire moves through the forest, and then all of a sudden the rebirth and the growth that happens is so pristine. It's so green and luscious. It's like, where are you at on that journey? Are you ready for the backburning? Are you ready to clear the dross? Or are you, you know, it's a matter of the Ten of Wands too. What do you need to put down? What are you carrying that's too heavy? Remember, he's carrying all the wands in the card. And that's a lot of wands, you know, he's carrying all of them. So what needs to be put down? What needs to be burnt away? Venus is helping clear the ashes of the Phoenix moments that you've had this year. You know, our last new moon of the year before we move into the final full moon, which comes very close to the end of the year. So I hope that you journey well next week, loves. I'm going to be on the beach all week next week, and I will endeavor to come back and prep you for the week ahead. I will be on holidays soon. And, you know, I don't know my schedule around what I'm going to do with my podcast, but I will be, you know, I will be overseas soon as well. So I won't be working when I'm overseas. But I have, you know, I have a little stash for you, darlings. Okay. I have a little stash. So if I'm not here every week, what you can do is head on over to my YouTube channel, Tiani Talks Astrology. Subscribe. You want to subscribe and watch my 2024 astrology panel. It's free and you get to see my face and you get to watch me interview rad astrologers, a numerologist, and also a Chinese astrologer. You get to, you know, it's only a small panel this year because there's a million reasons. I'm not going to go into them. Nothing bad, but just this is how it landed, which is perfect. So it's a small panel. It's 7 hours. There is a free 7 hours. So while I'm not broadcasting to you live, just remember to pop over to my YouTube channel and you can watch me and you can still have me in your ears whilst I chat to people that I love, and prep yourself for 2024. So I'm going to be dripping those over the next couple of weeks. So you just want to keep your eye out. So if you're not subscribed, you're not going to know when they drip. So I'm going to drip feed you these darlings one at a time. Another wonderful thing you can do is sign up to my masterclass. It's the last and final event of the year for me before I tap out. And that is happening on the 19th of December. It's 3 hours with me, darling. Come and join. And you can learn where all of this stuff is happening in your own chart. So you want to head over to astro.com, bring your chart up. I'm going to share my screen so you can see what the chart looks like. I can answer questions. It's a great friggin' rad time where you get to, you know, come and hang out with me for 3 hours. So that is also the very last offering I have for 2023. You want to be prepped for 2024. You want to know where some of these really powerful aspects are happening and, you know, all of the other little secrets and common little threads that I weave into 3 hours of chatting with you, of course. And then, of course, you know, just checking out that 2024 panel, especially while I am not podcasting, darlings. But I'm excited about this new moon in Sag. Like I said, I really feel really quite positive around this new moon. And even the Mercury retrograde, I'm just like, yeah, I am all for slowing down, reflecting, retracting, darlings. Pull your energy in whilst Mercury is retrograde. Pull it all the way in and sit. And sit without having to rush and without having to do. Just think, so Mercury, so just as a little heads up, next year, Mercury is actually not going to be retrograde over Christmas and the New Year. And that, hello, like this is a moment. So there's something in that, you know, there's something in that. There's something here every time we have a retrograde, and especially if you have planets in between 8 degrees of Capricorn and 22 degrees of Sag, which is where Mercury is moving. If there are any planets there, they're going to be hit 3 times, or you'll get the station direct or station retrograde on that degree, 22 Sag or 8 Cap. Yeah. So So there's some lesson there. So have a look at where that is for you. For me, it's like literally, I have an 8 degree Capricorn IC. So it is like boom, right on that moment of home and family. And you know, I'm going to be in the bloody ocean. Let me give you the hot tip. The 13th for me is ocean. I'm not even going to be at home. I'm going to be house sitting on the Gold Coast. So really interesting. And then, you know, and the retrograde itself for me is in my third house. So, you know, you want to pay attention to what theme Mercury is going to be bringing up for you, because the retrogrades are important times and invitations, lessons, teachings, messages, especially Mercury. You know, this is, we're working with the psychopomp here. We're working with Hermes. We're working with the actual messenger. So listen to the messages, integrate, you know, especially starting in Capricorn, that grounded earth Saturnian sign of Capricorn. It's like, slow down, take responsibility for your words, your thoughts, where you are placing your attention and energy. I really love that, you know, I can feel the slowness. I don't know about you, but I can really feel it. Like, I've felt the slowness all the way, like so far through December. And apart from, you know, Neptune stationing, which happened to station exactly fucking square my own Neptune. Hello, anyone with Neptune in Sagittarius late degrees. We're having our Neptune square. This is my final exact square of my Neptune square. And hello to anyone with early degree mutable signs with Saturn, because Saturn's either conjuncted or opposing or square that. It's been, you know, it's been interesting. And again, slowing down. There's the energy of just this nebulous dissolving with the solar flares, with all of these things that are happening. It's just this really wafty time, which I think sometimes we need. And also December is, in the liquid crystals, the month of emerald, which is spiritual healing. It's ocean medicine, it's dolphin medicine, it's rose magic. So again, slow down and smell the roses. All of the messages are telling us to slow down, to integrate the year. Because so often people just sort of blink and you miss December, which I get, because it's possibly just a lot that's going on and time really is accelerating. I really hear you there, you know, but as much as you consciously slow down, then, you know, then the upgrades can happen. Then the change happens. Then the shifts happen. I'm really loving the vibe, darlings, loving the vibe. So sending you all much lunar blessings for the new moon in Sag, 20 degrees of Sagittarius. Where is that happening in your chart? For me, it's my third house. It's close to my Neptune. It's actually hitting my part of fortune. So really, really fortunate, beautiful new moon for me, which I'm pumped for. Let me know where it's happening for you. And I will see you, well, maybe in person I'll see you. If you live down the Gold Coast and you're walking along the beach, I might see you there. Come and say hello. Come for a hug. I might see you at my local supermarket. Who knows? But you will hear from me. And I look forward to jumping back in here. Enjoy the Heart Chakra Gate too, darlings. Like, if you are really bold and you're up before sunrise or sunrise, you know, definitely before, because, you know, before the sun comes up. On the 10th, go and check out Venus and the moon together as they come together and kiss in Scorpio. So we've got some powerful days coming up. And happy new moon, darlings. So much love. Bye.